You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
What? So Ed has multiple times brought up the request, maybe, or maybe he was just making fun of me, that after episode 300, we change the intro.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
You know,
Ed is a good thing.
Ed is being Ed.
Is he saying, I want to introduce everything?
He probably, yeah, he probably just wants to talk more.
That's probably his subtle way of saying, I want to talk more. I need to hear myself again.
But that's, one more time. That's probably what it is. So on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, on whatever social media platform you're on, tag us either personally or our New Churches account and let us know what you think about our intro and if we should change it post episode 300.
Pump it or dump it.
Yes. Not the right environment to say that, but that's okay. Definitely. All right. So today we have a great question from Byron. Byron's actually submitted multiple questions. And if you've submitted multiple questions, actually, a funny thing, remember our Canadian friend from Saskatoon, Rob?
Yeah.
Rob Clark?
Saskatoon Rob Clark. Yeah, I remember. Yes.
So he under episode 100, he submitted multiple questions. And I actually was on the phone with him a couple days ago. He's starting a podcast and I was able to, he wanted to interview me on church planting stuff. So it was fun to reconnect with him. And I think,
hey, Rob, I'm waiting for you to interview me.
I think he wants to interview you actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he does.
On what?
But he thought you were too much of a big deal interview you. So, but he heard it. Hey, everyone heard it. So now you get to go on his podcast as
there
well.
You go. Saskatoon Rob.
But you know what? I think we offended him.
Why?
Because he hasn't submitted a question afterwards. So Rob, we love you.
We love you, Rob.
If you're still listening to our podcast, we love you. And we would ask that you would submit another question again.
Yeah. If he doesn't ever submit a question, you all know that he no longer listens. He was that offended.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's listen into today's question from Byron.
Hey guys, Byron Ellis here, church planner down in Texas. And my question for you is, we are about to move into our first permanent facility as a church. We are 2 years old, running about 150 right now. And we have secured a first location, working on it this summer, getting ready to move in the fall. And I was just wondering numerically, what can we expect as we have our first facility? Right now we're running two services. Our venue seats 150. Our new venue will seat 250. So I'm just asking, what would we be able to expect numerically in regards of growth over this year? Looking forward to any comments and resources that you guys might have for further reading, and looking forward to listening to your answer. Thank you.
So do you think he was intentionally said resources?
Oh, he totally said resource. He's from Texas.
He didn't crack up or anything when he said that, though.
No.
It was with a poker face.
I think there was a secret smirk in there. I think there was a smile.
Yes. Well. All right. So first permanent facility, running 250 people.
Yes.
Two services right now. Current venue seats 150, which is why he needs two services, because he's running 250. Yet the new facility seats 250. So first and foremost, does he launch with two services?
Okay. Oh, man.
Or does he go back to one?
No, because I've done this, unfortunately.
All right, pour out your wisdom on us.
Well, okay. So now this could have been timing too. So we had a Monday night service, believe it or not, that was, you could throw a rock and hit the Capitol. In DC. And so we actually did a Monday night because they, before Pelosi, several years ago, they never, ever had any votes on Mondays. So you always knew Monday night was like the best night, because a lot of time people travel back to their constituency over the weekend, but they're always back in on Monday but they don't have a vote, so they're going to be done by Monday night. And they would come. So we had a Monday night service. And we launched that thing, and man, it exploded. In a previous episode, I mentioned that this was a venue that always had overflow. So it was way overflowed. And so we added the second week, we added a second service. Mm. We did that for about 3 months. The problem with that is the first service started at 7. The second service started at 8:30 at night on a Monday. So to this day, I don't know whether the second service ended up finally failing because it was at 8:30 or what. But regardless, that when we moved it back to 7:30. And that service always remained in overflow. It's 12 years old now, I think, and it's still in overflow to this day.
Wow.
So all that to say, we had reached capacity. You know, it was like, it was, I think, somewhat like what he's talking about here, where you're moving into a new facility, you know you're already maxed out at one service. What do? I think, without a doubt, you have to go in like you're doing two services.
Oh, completely.
Because this is different. This is a group of people who have been dreaming and waiting for this day. They're going to be stoked. They're going to be excited. They're going to be telling their friends. And so you need to get them even more excited and whipped up to bring their friends and make sure that you're doing two services. I would do some strategic things to make sure that second service starts well and you get some solid commitment to make sure that it's filled and that it's almost like people feel like it's their responsibility to fill it. One of the ways that you can do that is by taking a survey and seeing how many people are wanting to go to first service or second service. You can actually ask about service times or whatever, but secretly the big thing that you want to know is where people are going to land, because you need to know, okay, is it the first service or second service that's probably going to need the most help? Then I'm going to make the ask of some key people to be sure that they feel it's not about making them feel the weight of the responsibility. It's about getting them excited and equipped to be able to promote that and get that done.
Yeah, I love that. I would also recommend keeping with two services because, number one, there's a big change in moving from, you've already done the hard work in going from one to two services, and you have this big change in going from a temporary facility to a permanent facility. So that's change in and of itself. But if you go back to one service, there's going to be a lot of people who become excited about that because they're like, oh, now we can all see each other again. Now, if you do that, try going to two services. That's going to be really hard
right.
Because people associate it. Well, we now have a permanent facility, so now we can all be together again. And you're going to be, if you do that, you're going to right away be at your limit. If you have 250 and it seats 250 people. So I would go in immediately saying, hey guys, even though we have the room for us to possibly fit all together, and I'd really use this as an opportunity to cast vision and say, even though we can all probably get together in one service, if we do that, we have no room for growth. And we want to reach this city. We want to reach our neighborhood. So what we now have the opportunity to do is reach more people because we have more seating. Now, the big thing is you're moving from a room of 150 to a room of 250 seat-wise. And if you have 100 to 125 people in that, it's going to feel half empty. So because of that, I would, depending on how your auditorium looks, either pipe and drape some seats off if you're able to. If not, rope them off or do something like that, just so that people aren't scattered fully, totally away from each other.
I'm going to give you two more strategic things. One is I would use 2/3 of the seats to start, just space them out a little bit more, make your rows a tiny bit wider apart, if you have movable chairs.
I was thinking about, yeah, that's a really good point. I was thinking about piping and draping or roping them off if you went into if you bought kind of an older church building, right, and you had pews.
Right, right.
That you couldn't move.
If you can move them. If you have pews, I would say there's actually, I can't remember the name of the company. There's actually a company that will buy your pews.
Oh,
because
really?
Pews are cool things.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And, you know, restaurants like them, other venues like them.
And I have seen some kind of like a tablecloth. I have seen those type of covers that would go and extend over pews as well.
Well, where I was going is I'd get rid of your pews if possible, because you'll never be able to count well or fill your capacity.
So even before he moves in?
Yeah, even before you move in, ditch the pews.
Yeah, okay.
Then you can make the aisles a little bit wider. You can put the rows a little bit farther apart, and you'll be more than fine. It'll look super full. And you can kind of cheat that way for a little bit. The biggest strategic reason, in my opinion, to keep two services is for your volunteers and leaders. Because your volunteers and leaders, if you only have one service, you're asking multiple people not to participate in worship every week. Mm. Or you'll have people,
you mean kids volunteers,
yeah. All these people that serve in the church. You want to give them an opportunity to be able to worship. And so if you do that, you may say, oh, well, that will take won't that take the burden off? Well, no, it'll actually increase the burden, because the people that do serve no longer get to attend. It almost forces you into a weekly warm body mentality where you're having a rotation of leaders where you're, if you'll just show up, all you need to do is show up just once a month or twice a month. And you get into the endless cycle of, you know, Saturday calls instead of instead of really thinking about your service. So
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. The other thing that I would recommend is, because you're moving from temporary to a permanent facility, have a strategy and a plan to connect those volunteers that were heavily tied to the setup teardown that now don't have roles in the new facility. Have maybe take them out to lunch or do some sort of celebration with them and thank them for their service. Because a lot of times, I mean, they're the ones that were first ones there, last ones to leave. And there's a lot. The last thing that you would want them to do is to kind of take a step back and be like, I've paid my dues now. I don't need to serve anymore. Have conversations with them, recruiting conversations with them, and be like, hey, now that we don't need to do that, is there anywhere else that you'd love to serve? Is there anything that we can do? You can give them some time off as well, but I wouldn't give them time off and then ask them. I would rather engage them right away, celebrate them, appreciate them, but then connect them into a ministry area. Maybe they're going to take a few weeks off before they start serving again, but connect them into that ministry area. And don't connect them all separately, but do it, maybe connect them as a group together into a new ministry area. Because one of the things about serving is you're not just serving because you love the task or you love the role, but oftentimes you're serving because you love the people that you're serving with. Or you love the people that you're serving too. So especially if you're set up, tear down, bring the trailer out. A lot of that was, hey, that was their community group or that was their connection. Because after they set up, they went over to Dunkin' Donuts or they went over to Tim Hortons up in Canada or wherever. And they just hung out, right?
Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons. No, seriously. That's what we did at our campus at a movie theater. Went out to Tim Hortons and it was about 30, 40 minutes where we would just hang out while the worship team was rehearsing. Before the service would start and people would start funneling in. So have a strategic way to connect them. And by doing that, and by continuing to put the pedal down and saying, hey guys, we want to reach our community. You're not only going to be able to, this new environment and this new room, this new facility that has room to grow, you're going to be able to fill that if you continue to cast that vision and move toward that. All right. Well, thanks again for leaving that question. If you haven't yet left a question, follow Byron's lead and lead a question. Don't just leave one question, not lead a question, leave a question. And don't just leave one question. You can leave multiple ones and we'll space them out. But you can do that at speakpipe.com/newchurches, or you can hit the sidebar on the right when you go to newchurches.com if you're on your desktop computer, and submit that right there. All right. Well, we'll catch you next time.